Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey everyone, welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host today, and with me we have our leading lady. I'm going to first say that our topic today is turning points in history and women's empowerment, because for those of you that don't know, this is Women's History Month, and we as women should be very prideful about some of the women who came before us. And we're going to be talking about Women's History Month with an expert, a history buff, and this is our leading lady today. I'm delighted to say that Hadley Wood is the president of H. Linwood Insurance Services, and we are going to be talking about women's history. And Hadley is a commercial insurance provider, but more than that, it's like she's a history buff. So Hadley, say hello and welcome to all of our listeners.
Hello, everybody, and thank you so much, Michelle, for having me.
I learned something new about you today, and I'm excited because, you know, history buff is so much more, you know, exciting, right, than insurance. I was like, I had no idea, and here you are, a history buff on all kinds of things based on turning points in history. So I'm dying to know, what kind of a history buff are you? Let's hear some of this.
Well, you know, it's funny. I grew up with a father as a professor, a humanities history professor. So I guess it probably started way back then around the dinner table. And, of course, if anybody out there's had a teacher as a parent, you know, you do a lot of reading and a lot of studying, and it's just, it's basically ingrained in your daily routine to learn about history. So I grew up with it, you know, obviously, and we did a lot of traveling, and so I think that probably sparked my interest early on. And I think it's, you know, history to me, let's face it, it's a fascinating thing to learn about what actually has happened, because I think it really does help us, gives us a perspective to what's going on today. You know, history does repeat itself. So it's, I think it's an important thing to know our history and it's also a lot of fun and it's interesting. So I love it. You know, I'm a helpless romantic. So I love reading, you know, historical fiction and things like that as well. So,
I love the term historical and fiction, how they go together, because I love that stuff too. And I too am a history, I wouldn't say a history buff. I love learning anything about history, and the sad part is I don't feel like I ever really paid attention to it in school, but as an adult I feel like, oh my gosh, watching, which is crazy, some of the videos that the History Channel has created over, you know, famous moments in time and certain, you know, war battles or just, you know, trends that have happened. And I know one of yours I want to get into here is that you said there was kind of a turning point in history for women and empowerment, and it was based on World War II, right? Is that right? Can you tell a little bit about that, of how you, I mean, that's kind of a big thing where that was a turning point in history for women.
I think it is, you know, and I think, I mean, when, and I, you know, this kind of goes back to, and I'll give you a little bit of history of how I kind of learned about this, is way back when in my previous career, I actually went to school as a film television major way back when, undergraduate. I worked in the television industry for a long time up in Los Angeles. So, you know, I ended up studying a lot about the history and television history, basically, right? So, me, it's really interesting. And when we go back to that and we look at, you know, one of the things I was, you know, just briefly was interested in is obviously the time, you know, World War II time, when the women, you know, the men were basically, you know, sent off to war, and the women were, you know, left to fill these quote-unquote masculine positions and to, you know, that were normally filled by men at home, but they were gone. So women were put into, you know, this is the Rosie the Riveter type of icon, put into manufacturing and engineering positions, even, you know, everything from pilots to, you know, whatever it may be, doctors and lawyers, and you know, really facilitating the needs of the community while the men were out, you know, killing each other. I mean, you know, and what happened, I think is what interesting to me is obviously, and some people probably know this, is when the men, obviously the war ended, the men came back, and the women were naturally just, it was assumed that they were going to go back into their housewives and mother roles at home. And unfortunately for a lot of these women, I mean, I'm sure it was very challenging because they had overcome all these, you know, they were power players. They were creating things.
Right.
They were really looked up to in the industry. And then they were basically pushed back down into this subordinate type of positioning. And a lot of it was interesting to me. When I bring up the television aspect, is a lot of it was perpetuated by like the subliminal messaging and subtle propaganda pushed by, you know, movies of the time and especially television. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
if you look at, the I Love Lucy's and the Leave It to Beaver kind of portrayals, Father Knows Best type of, you know, television shows back then, it was very hyper feminine of, you know, with the women
yeah.
and the women's roles. And this really was almost, opposite of what a lot of these women were doing in the 40s. So it's pretty interesting.
I find it fascinating because even the Mary Tyler Moore show, do you remember? I mean, with that show, it's like when Mary Tyler Moore, was a career woman and a single woman. And that was a turning point for women as well in business because, you know, they just didn't show that. They showed women at home, women, you know, obviously husband works, wife stays home and takes care of the kids. And that was another turning point with TV. And yeah, there's those little marks that we look back on it and I just go, oh my gosh, you know, what we can learn. And even like with the Dick Van Dyke show, when Mary Tyler Moore, they had like two single beds. I know
yes,
this is going
exactly.
down a different path, but it's like, that was like, don't couples sleep
yep,
together? Hello,
I know. And
they're
and
in
Mary,
a single bed.
Exactly. And I mean that, and you look back and that wasn't until Mary Tyler Moore actually launched in 1970. So you're talking, you know, you've got the decade of the
forward.
50s and 60s of, it was mm-hmm. almost like a vacuum for women in industry. And I mean, you know, of course there's that's not across the board, but it mainstream women, I mean, they were really, it was like, okay, you guys need to get back to put your aprons back on and, you know, go back into the kitchen. we're going to show
and they
you.
They said
what
no. Women said, no, not going to do it. You know, I'm curious on something else because, you know, with Women's History Month, you know, we always, I mean, it's great to look back and you and I are both business owners and I look at that and go, gosh, you know, have we come that far? It's like, cause I still hear women struggle with, you know, being heard in corporate America. You know, women don't have as successful, not successful is the wrong word, as high sales rates or revenue as male businesses, right? The male-dominated industry where women struggle in technology or, kind of science-based businesses. And so I'm curious from your perspective, and especially as a history buff, I mean, do you think, I mean, I know we've come a long way, but how do you see women today, you know, as far as women's empowerment? It's like, are we getting there? Because Miss History Buff, let's hear your take on it, because I definitely have an opinion, but what's yours?
Yeah, you know, I think we make strides. It's interesting to me, again, you know, like I said, I'm an avid reader. And mm-hmm. interestingly, if you look at history in that terms as far as authors, okay, we look at it from that, just as recent as 2011, I mean, and you know, also like the Harry Potter, you know, J.K. Rowling, women are still publishing, they're told, not to publish with their first names, but to publish with their initials. Otherwise, they're not going to get broad readership. And,
wow.
I mean, that's, they almost think about, you don't even, like, we kind of, it doesn't dawn on you until you actually go, yeah, that is kind of funny. Why are they publishing with their initials? I mean, this goes back to way back when back, you know, obviously, I mean, it kind of made sense back in the 1800s with the Bronte sisters. They published under male pen names, right? But it's still going on. I mean, these people aren't publishing under male pen names, E.L. James,
right.
you know, 50 Shades of Grey, that just came out in 2011. You know, J.K. Rowling, 95, 96, you know, it's still happening today across, and you would think that the, you know, the literary industry would be much more progressive, and so there's these still little signs where you say, wait, we're just not there yet, and even though we've made strides in so many ways, in so many different industries, if you really start digging, you start looking at it and going, oh my gosh, wow, it is pretty, it's still not there yet. And that surprised me personally, because like I said, I would have thought of any industry, the arts and literary industries would be much more progressive and inclusive.
Right.
But because, you know, again, it's about sales and it's about numbers and it's about, you know, how broad can you reach? If you want to get the male audience to read your books, they don't want to see a female author's name on there. So, kind of crazy.
Interesting. No, it is. I didn't know that. I mean, that's kind of shocking to me. And I know there's so many other things that, you know, I want to kind of go on with history, but I also want to kind of talk a little bit about you, is because, you know, as a risk management strategist, and you specialize in all kinds of things related to insurance for business. I mean, what is the insurance industry like as far as women, you know, kind of like equal to men? Is it pretty even? Because I know financial services, it's still very male dominated at the top. What's the insurance industry like for women?
It's funny. I mean, when you look at insurance, going back into, you know, the fun world of insurance, I mean, it was always the stereotypical man with a briefcase, you know, knocking on the door selling life insurance product, right, to your friends and neighbors. And that was kind of the back in the day. And it's definitely not like that anymore. It is insurance, just by the nature of insurance, is actually a very, I don't want to say feminine arena in a way, but it's a feminine product, because it's all about, at least the way it should is all about is consulting people to protect them, okay? So, which, you know, products are out there to protect people. You evaluate what their exposures are, and you try to find products that are going to protect them, right, from loss or hazards and claims. And so it's all about kind of a nurturing. So what I see, of course, there's tons of men at the top, but I'm seeing many more women succeed, because it's really not about a hard sell of insurance. It's about, you know, advising people of what's out there and what they can do to protect themselves. And women are really good at that. And so, you know, although, of course, men are still up there, you know, at the top, women are quickly moving up. I see a lot of women, you know, I go to a lot of insurance conferences, and I see every time I go, I see more and more women, business owners, agents, brokerage owners, successful, because I think they have, and I don't want to generalize here, but women are just better nurturers. I think they care.
go with that.
And I think that, you know, it doesn't come across as salesy, whereas men, I think, don't have that as much innately inside them. And I don't want to just blanket generalization, but I do think insurance as a whole, women are really good at insurance. So I am seeing a big change there. Which is great.
I like hearing that. You know, I mean, every industry is different. I mean, I came from commercial banking, and I always kind of think back to the, you know, the late 70s and early 80s when I got into banking. And it was, I don't know if you're familiar, you know, you said you're a TV buff and a video and movie buff. And do you remember, of course, I hope you remember the show Mad Men, right?
Oh, yeah.
That one, and then they came out with one called Good Girls Revolt just recently, and it's about the news industry, and I think it was based on Newsweek, and so it just had this whole thing where women, there were career women, they were working women, but they were, it was like picture like these, like, hubs, right? And so the guys are high level, the women are in this lower level area, and they only could be researchers. They couldn't be writers and journalists. And so the men got all the credit, the women did all the work. I mean, it's insane. And it's this show, I think it's on Amazon, and it's just amazing of where we look at now. It's like, that would, I mean, my gosh, if that's how women work together in the workforce, and they did all the work for writing, literally almost like the articles for Newsweek, did all the research, did all the fact-finding, and then the guys kind of like buffed it up, and they got the credit and the byline for the articles. I mean, and there was a big lawsuit over it.
Yeah, I mean, that's I think, you know, especially, yeah, absolutely, television, of course, you know, women were, I mean, the secretaries, I mean, just like you said, like Mad Men, I mean, they're the ones that did all the, I mean, they did all the work. I can attest to this. I was a secretary, you know, way back when out of college. I mean, I was an executive assistant, a secretary, and those are the hard workers. I mean, they're the ones that do all of the stuff, and you don't get any credit for it, right? So, you just reminded me of that old, the movie, remember the movie Network?
Yes.
It came out.
It was on
Network.
Cable.
That was in the 70s, I think. Very similar to that. So, oh yeah, it's, like you said, we've come a long way, but it's once you start really looking at it.
We still have a long way to go. We still have a long way to go, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm curious on something for you. It's like, you know, since this is just one of those questions off the fly, but I'm like, what do you feel has, at least from in the past, you know, women's, you know, history and what we've learned and where we are today as women, it's like, what do you think have been just a couple of the biggest pieces that are success secrets that you've incorporated as a female leader in running your own business? I mean, what are those either characteristics or behaviors that you think have helped you get to where you are today? Because, you know, you're very well respected in the San Diego business community.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I really do think that, you know, women, myself, I mean, I would hope I'm good at this, but women, I think, are really great collaborators. Women naturally just, I mean, you look at our friendships, right? We have good friends. We like to collaborate. We like to spend time with each other. We like to talk about things. I think women are really good at collaborating. I think that is such a huge asset because we when we work together, especially as entrepreneurs or solopreneurs, or, you know, when you're launching your own business, you have your own business, it's a small business, you're wearing a lot of hats. I think collaborating with other people in your groups and in your networks and in your community and helping each other, that is just such a natural thing for women to do. And I think capitalizing on that in your business is really a key to success. Because we can't do it all. You know, I know that for my company and myself. You know, I have to rely on other people to help me and help me learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that women have learned, I think, more, I think we're better at it than men. I mean, I don't want to compare ourselves to men, but I think it's just a more of a natural way of women, you know, it's organic in our nature to be that way. And I think it really is, if we capitalize on it in our business, and I think women are knowing that now from what I've seen and from, you know, and I'm sure you too, with all the networking and all the groups and collaboration, I just think it's such a strength. And I think it wasn't, I mean, it's something when you look at maybe 10 years ago, I don't think women were doing that. So I think that's a huge leap we've made recently, is being, you know, helping each other rather than back maybe, you know, you go back 10, 15 years ago, I think women were much more competitive with each other. I think we're actually helping each other now.
I think it's good. I see a distinction, though, between women entrepreneurs and corporate and career women, you know, that work for companies, because it's interesting, you know, because I interviewed men for about 3 years. I've put them in a book. And it was interesting, Hadley, because the men kind of shared with me the one thing that they thought women need to do that we don't do. And I was like, I'm ready for it. Tell me. And they said, we just don't, from their perspective, right? Again, their perspective was that we as women don't support one another. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, at least in the entrepreneurial business owner, business community side, I see it. But then in corporate America, it still is a little, in some companies, it's very, it's just a great spirit. In some companies, it still is kind of dog eat dog, if I can put it that way. And that's sad to me, you know, because I think that is one of the things that holds us back as women, you know, really getting into those boardroom positions and those higher echelons. But that's just my take. Your opinion?
You know what? I think it, you could be right. I mean, I do, you know, again, my corporate, I was in corporate about 15 years ago, and I do remember it being that way. And it, now I do work, you know, the people I'm working with now, most of them are, have their own companies, and they're women. A lot of the women have their own companies. So I don't see as much of that. And that, I would hope that it's not, you know, that it's getting better. I do think, you know, obviously, you know, in a corporate world, every dynamic is different, right? Because it is, I mean, you've got the male, you know, you are trying to compete with, you know, other people climbing a corporate ladder. And it is, I'm sure it's still tough. And that is something I'm really happy I don't have to be a part of right now. So I hope I never have to go back to that.
That's right. That's why we're on our own. That is why we do what we do. And I'm dying to know for you, because only we've got a few minutes left. I know the time goes really fast, but how did, what kind of got you into the insurance industry? How did you get there with your career and background? What led you there?
You know, it's funny. I think most people, you know, who end up in insurance, I don't think plan. It's not part of the plan, definitely. It's not something that we, you know, you go to school for, or at least I didn't. You know, I ended up getting into this. I am originally from San Diego. I grew up here, and I actually lived in Los Angeles.
Actual native of San Diego. I bow to you. I'm like, wow, because usually it's everybody else coming into San Diego.
I am. I know. I took a little break. I lived in Los Angeles for about 12 years and had a career up there, which, gosh, was just fast and furious, of course. And I decided I wanted to move back down here, and I couldn't do what I was doing up there. I worked in the studio world up there, and I couldn't translate that down to here. So I really had to – it was actually – getting into insurance was really a matter of reinventing myself and saying, okay, what am I going to do now? And I literally took a job, no joke, for $10 an hour at this little tiny agency just because I needed something. This was 15 years ago. And I thought this will just be temporary, right? And I learned everything I could. I found out that I loved it. And I owned it. I made it my own. I learned everything I could about it, read all the trade mags, got my license, met a lot of the right people, ended up in a somebody approached me. They wanted me to be their partner in a new brokerage in Carlsbad. 2005, I launched SHW Insurance, which was a partnership between me and one of the largest structural home warranty companies. So I just fell into it. And then in 2010, me and my partner split. He moved back to Colorado to focus more on the warranty side. And I launched my company. So it really was just a matter of everything coming into play and the right timing. But again, it wasn't something I consciously thought, this is what I want to do. It just, I think I embraced it because it I actually found it really fascinating. Insurance is actually more fun than a lot of people give it credit for.
Yeah, you got to go there because I think for most of us as business owners, we're like, that's not a fun thing to us as business. But you have made a fun factor out of it. I mean, your Facebook page has interesting facts and tips and things on it. You have put a real fun factor to your business. I am impressed.
Oh, thank you. It's a little tough. You know, insurance can be dry, but you know, and it is actually insurance is fun because you actually are. It's a lot of detective work what I do. I actually meet, you know, I get to talk with all different kinds of business owners, right? So I'm learning about what's out there with all these new businesses popping up and what their needs are and what are they looking at and where their projections, where they're going. So it's a lot of learning about companies, which I think is fascinating. And then trying to find, I have to sort of do some detective work and find the right type of coverages to protect them. So it's, to me, I guess I don't like to think of it as, you know, like boring insurance. It actually is, it's fun. And I think it's mostly I get to work with these great, great business owners and I get to watch them grow. I have companies in 5 years, they've just now, you know, tripled and quadrupled in size and are doing wonderful things out there. And I feel like I'm really a part of it. You know, I've helped them launch and get to where they are. So that's exciting.
It is exciting. I'm curious what is your goal with, you know, with the insurance company? I mean, are you looking, you know, can you share? It's like, for especially for our listeners, it's Women's History Month. What are you looking to for the future? Like, do you want to build an amazing kingdom? Are you wanting to stay small?
No, I actually don't. I'm not looking to, you know, I think there's inherent risk when you do that as well. You know, and you have to, that has to be a road that you have to commit to. You know, if you're going to be bringing on employees and growing in an office space and to be honest, sometimes you end up making the same amount of money and have much more stress and much more risk than if you just stayed a certain size. You know, you know. So I think you have to look at that. I am very happy with where my company is right now and where how I'm growing. I'm growing in small little pieces. I'm looking to actually do a little bit of collaboration, more on the end of risk management consulting. With a couple of key people, you know, going into companies and actually doing some basic, you know, in sort of a internal or just a basic audit, and reviewing people and kind of talking with people and consulting small businesses, you know, businesses that don't have the, you know, funds to capitalize a Pricewaterhouse internal audit type of thing, but small businesses where help them develop some and make some key changes so that they can improve their process. That's fun for me because that, again, that goes back into consultative and, you know, consultative and also, you know, learning about businesses and helping them protect against certain things. So that would be – that's something I'm looking at. And then – and again, and that would go hand in hand with, you know, me trying to get my darn book finished one of these days. Michelle hopefully will
help
me.
I'm not going to go there. I know. We've had this conversation, girl. It's like, get that book done. But, oh, that's funny. And do you want to share with our listeners what's the concept of the book or do you want to share?
Well, it is – you know, that's the crazy thing. I started 4 years ago. And, you know, if you don't get your book done – quickly enough, your perspective changes, and then you have to keep shifting, and then it's really hard to finish it. It's one of those things. So, if anyone out there is listening and you've got it sitting there, you have to get it done. Otherwise, you change. You know, your perspective changes, and so, which is where I'm at now. So I'm re-looking at what I've written, and it's going to be on risk management for small business, you know, and entrepreneurs. But I really want to make it as focused and as handy for people as possible. So, and that changes
and I know
the more I learn and the more I'm out. So,
I know you're a wealth of information and we've only got a couple of minutes left and I'm curious, like what would be the two things for any of our listeners that are women owners, which are a lot, it's like, what would be the top two things you feel that as a small business owner, they need to think about in terms of risk management or just, you know, protecting their business? In the top two, in your opinion, that you see are what small business owners struggle with.
Yeah, I mean, the top two, there's a lot, there's a few, but the top two are going to be, number one, make sure, you know, as you're growing or as you're starting, you know, you've got a good business attorney in your pocket because you really need to have some solid agreements. You really do need to have the agreements that whatever agreement that you're doing, you know, you need to make sure your corporate structure or your company structure is what you want it to be because you're going to be with that for a while, and the agreements are solid because that can really come back and bite you in the butt if they're not. The second thing is really think about, you know, is HR. Human resources is a huge exposure for every company, and it's one of the largest expenditures. It's also one of the greatest assets. So you really have to look at it and you know, if you're going to bring on people, do it the right way. You have somebody help you. Make sure you've got, you know, all of your, you know, your I's dotted and your T's crossed with that. You know, you've got workers' compensation. It's a big expense. So make sure you know what you're doing before you go down that road. Because those two things cost you a lot of money. And if you don't do them right, yeah, they're big. They can end up in big lawsuits. So, yep.
That's good. I know you have 50,000 more that you could give. I know that. And I want to leave, well, two things. One, if anybody, and I know our listeners do reach out to some of our guests and leading ladies, but if anybody wants to reach you, how would you like them to raise their hand or contact you? Do you want to share?
Well, sure. They can always, you know, visit my website. First of all, to learn more about me, the website is www.hlinwood.com. That's HLINWOOD-insurance.com. Or they can call my office and talk with me directly. I'd be happy to talk with them or schedule a time to talk, 760-720-4632. I'm also on LinkedIn under Hadley Wood, and I'm on Facebook under Hadley Wood or H. Linwood. So
you're having fun on Facebook is what Facebook is. You're having fun on Facebook.
I am having fun on Facebook.
I love it. All right, here's my final question to you, girl, because I know this was something I think that it's back to the whole history thing. And first of all, you've been a wonderful, wonderful guest. I'd love to have you back again. And I think our listeners will go, oh, this is really interesting today. But, you know, since we're celebrating Women's History Month, is there one woman in the past that each year you think we should remember to thank and honor, just in your opinion? Because I think you've got some thoughts on that one. Who is that woman?
I do. It would have to be my mom. I think all of us have to, you know, remember our mothers because they're the ones, and not only our mothers, but our grandmothers and our significant people in our family mm-hmm. that have paved the path for all of us individually.
And how that is, like, I just got goosebumps when you said that because to me, absolutely, you know, I just remember, you know, oh, man, you just took me down a different place. You're right. That is who we need to thank because look what they dealt with that we actually benefit from right now. I mean, those generations before us. So, girl, you ended it on, like, a goosebump note. I think that's good. But remember your mama and your grandma is what we're saying. Is that right?
Exactly. Remember, they're the ones that had to, you know, pave the path for us, and we're going to pave the path for the next generation.
Hadley, you're an amazing leading lady. I'm going to say that for Women's History Month. And to all of our listeners, you know that we are here every Friday at 2 p.m. and Mondays at 9 a.m. with live Women Lead radio shows. I hope all of you are enjoying and celebrating Women's History Month. We just came off of our Women of Influence Awards on Wednesday and recognized 11 incredible women leaders here in the San Diego business community. And we'll be in Orange County on Wednesday, March 29th. But again, just one of the things to do with Women's History Month, thank your mama, thank your grandma, and just remember, we as women can truly, truly support one another. It's just all about the give. So have a great weekend, and we'll see you on the next Women Lead Radio Show.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.